Many Massachusetts leaders have personal memories of Dr. Martin Luther King that they'll likely be recalling on this holiday commemorating the late civil rights leader. But as WBUR's Dolores Handy reports, although Dr. King had extensive ties to Boston during the 1960s, the civil rights movement here at that time had its own struggles.
On September 11, 1964, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. came to Boston to announce the donation of his personal papers to his alma mater, Boston University. He spoke of racial injustice, even here in the North.
This struggle, while we are based in the South, is a national struggle, and it requires the concern and support of people all over the nation. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. The problem is very serious in the North, and that racial injustice does exist in the North in a very serious way.
That message rings true to former Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis.
Look, I grew up in the town of Brookline. Until the Civil Rights Revolution, really until the 1960s, people of color could not live in Brookline. In fact, they couldn't live on the northern side of the railroad tracks. They could work over there, but they had to go home to the other side of the railroad tracks.
Dr. King, the iconic figure of that civil rights revolution, often referred to Boston as his second home. He'd studied here in the 1950s, earning his doctorate at BU. Here in Boston, he met a New England Conservatory student, Coretta Scott, who became his wife. Another milestone came on April 22, 1965, when he addressed a joint session of the Massachusetts legislature. There is no known recording of the speech, but at the end, he repeated, almost verbatim, the closing words of his I Have a Dream speech in Washington from 2 years before.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty.
On that April day in 1965, Governor Dukakis was a young member of the Massachusetts House representing Brookline.
I don't remember the details of the speech. Maybe it's a sign of advancing age, but I certainly remember the fact that he was there, that he spoke to us, and that it was an extraordinary event for us. He was a presence that's hard to describe. He was just a very powerful presence, and you felt that and sensed that.
That was also the sentiment of another young state rep, William Bulger from South Boston, who later rose to become president of the state Senate. While his recollection of the speech is vague, Bulger remembers it was well received. In his words, that was before the local stuff crested. The local stuff? A reference to the busing crisis that came some 9 years after Dr. King's speech in Boston. A more vivid image of that day comes from a man who was a first-term state representative from Roxbury, the Reverend Michael Haynes. Haynes had served with Dr. King as a youth minister at Roxbury's 12th Baptist Church when King studied at BU. Haynes delivered the invocation before the legislature just before King spoke.
Oh, the place was packed. There wasn't standing room in the hall at that time. A lot of legislators brought their whole families.
The day after that speech, Dr. King led what was described as Boston's first giant freedom march. The Boston Globe characterized it as a mile of marchers. They followed a 2.5-mile route from the South End to the Boston Common, where some 22,000 people gathered during light rain to hear Dr. King speak. He echoed themes that were voiced the day before in his speech at the State House.
He talked about the school situation. He spoke about the cancer that was affecting the nation, that if it wasn't dealt with, the nation would not have moral health. And that's an underlying diagnosis of racism at its worst.
The 60s, a decade of revolution and progress and pain. It brought the passage of the Voting Rights and Civil Rights Acts and decades of progress afterwards. It also brought a federal holiday to honor the slain civil rights leader schooled in Boston.
And I remember the first King holiday, the pride that I had, that here's an American holiday for America that embraces people of color.
Dr. King's Boston visit 47 years ago this spring still lives in the memories of many of those in the room that day. It was important to them. But Reverend Haynes says it was important to Dr. King, too. This man, who had moved a nation with his dream, had never spoken to a legislative body before that day. Reverend Haynes says Dr. King changed minds that day. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Dolores Handy.